Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing on the first week of 2021?
Happy New Year, everyone!
Hey.
I know, I'm sure there's a lot of talk about 2021. I'm hoping it's going to be better than last year. Yada, yada, yada. Just keep on being you, guys. Just keep on being you. Have a great time. 2020 wasn't the worst thing in the world for a lot of people. It was terrible for others, obviously. But look, we'll steer the course. We'll get through it. We'll get that wee vaccine in, pumping through our veins, and we'll be back on top.
That's the spirit. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I always feel I'm not a very optimistic person. I'm pretty grumpy and sarcastic and rubbish. But first week of the new year, I'm always pretty pumped up and ready to go and throw myself into it. And then I kind of gradually lose enthusiasm until the end of January, and then I'm back to my normal self. But I'm currently fired up, ready to go. What are you going to do, Pete? What is 2021 going to be all about for you?
Oh, health kick, please. I've not looked after myself this year in the slightest, so I need to get back on it, to be quite frank. The problem is, I just find running around a little bit boring. I like me football. I like running around playing football, but I need a sport that allows me to run around and have a good time. But yeah, I just need to play more football. I think that's how I need to get back on top. Maybe lift some weights. Maybe just stop eating chocolate coins for a month every December. I think, you know, I just got to look after myself a little bit more, because not looking pretty at the moment. No looking pretty.
How many people have put on weight because of those godforsaken chocolate coins? They're so addictive.
They're so Morris,
they're so fun.
Yeah.
I know, right? Yeah, chocolate coins.
Fun chocolate coins. The fun side of currency.
It certainly is. They taste pretty good. I don't know what it is about the chocolate. It's that cheap kind of delicious chocolate they put in there that tastes of just crap. But my weight, I kind of lost weight throughout last year. What I did is I just went for like, I did like 10,000 steps every day. And the trick is to just listen to music or listen to a podcast or just go and get deep in thought as you go for a walk somewhere you quite like. However, that went down the pan. After journey across Japan, escaped to Fiji, I just, because I was in a room editing so much, I just didn't go out and I ate loads over Christmas. And now I've put on so much weight, I'm back to where I started last year. So it's very much like a one step forward, two steps back the last 12 months.
Right.
So, okay,
you're like the guy who, you know, when they take a picture where they've lost a lot of weight and they've got their big comedy trousers and they sort of go, look how big my trousers used to be. You've not thrown the trousers away because you know full well you'll be back where you started for soon enough.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I want to lose weight because then I can release the Abroad in Japan fitness plan, like a DVD or something, and make loads of money.
Yeah.
My secrets to weight loss, like a lot of crappy Z-list celebrities do. I lost weight. I lost 10 kilograms in a month. Learn my secrets.
I ate my bath
£10.
Mat. I ate my asbestos bath mat and got very unwell.
I hate to admit it. I've still got the asbestos bath mat from last year. I don't know what to do with it. I'm still weighing it up.
Make influencer tea out of it. Just cut it into sections. Make special influencer tea. Like that diet tea stuff that all the influencers advertise. So speaking of sort of getting back to where we were, like, I very much this year want to achieve the dream of visiting Japan again with my friends and stuff. But because I am turning 40 this year. It's a big trip. It should be a big trip. But obviously, you've been stymied by the fact that we just can't get anywhere. So we'll see how that one pans out. Japan, obviously, we're recording this on, earlier in the week, let's say. And Japan have closed its borders to anyone who's not a foreign, who's not a Japanese national, which once again,
well, I could still leave Japan and return. Actually, I think foreign residents are still able to get in and out.
Which
is rather confusing. But because of the old the British strain that happened in my home county of Kent, of course it bloody did. New strain of bloody coronavirus came from like down the road from where I was born, Kent, the Garden of England. All the countries of the world have had a bit of a crackdown at the moment. But Japan has more or less closed its borders once more, at least until the end of January. But I'm confident, for some reason, I feel hopeful that things will get back under control and there'll be vaccines and somehow the whole thing will magically go away and you can come here and it'll be wonderful sometime towards the end of this year. But it's sad though, isn't it? It is sad. But,
it's annoying. It's annoying.
That's it.
It's annoying.
That's it. That's all there is. It's just
It's annoying, isn't it? Like, because I'm fairly certain they sort of said, like, oh, the people who aren't from Japan, who aren't residents, they're not allowed to come in. It's like, well, I'm fairly certain they weren't allowed to come in anyway, were they?
Well, I've been able to, like, if I need to go to the UK for some reason, I could still do it and then come back. But we couldn't do that up until September of 2020, right? They did have a real crackdown, which pissed off a lot of foreign residents, especially folks here that pay tax and whatnot, to be a second class citizen is not a great thing to experience. But it doesn't seem to be the case at the moment, so that's all right. But I'm hoping you can come over and maybe you can make up for it by coming for longer to Japan this time round. What do you reckon?
Well, no, as I said, it's my 40th. It's my 40th. I need to sort of, you know, I want to just do something. I just want to do something, Chris. That's all I need. I just want to do something. I'm bored.
I think this is the year you should come to Japan with your samurai sword that you got for Christmas. Climb Mount Fuji, school. Samurai sword in hand, get on the peak of Mount Fuji, wave it around a little bit, get arrested, get deported. But I do think you should climb Mount Fuji. I reckon this could be the year, providing it all opens up and you can get here for August when Mount Fuji is open. What do you reckon? Would you do it? Would you actually consider climbing it?
Well, we've spoken about this before, but I just can't see Japan being open by August. I just can't. They're very careful. They certainly won't want our lot from London sort of piling in, do they? Will they? So, you know, we'll see how that one pans out. We've got a very slow rollout with the vaccines. Most GP surgeries aren't getting it. I think less than 1% of Wales has been vaccinated, which is in stark contrast to everywhere else in the British Isles. So they're going to have to step up. They're going to have to employ the army or the navy to start slamming vaccines in people's arms. I think the Oxford vaccine's coming up pretty soon. And obviously, you know, and we've got a couple of weeks head start over Europe and pretty much the US as well. So they should really be taking it seriously and sort of going, look, this could be post-Brexit, a way of kind of putting our best foot forward effectively, but they won't. so
Pete for Prime
I don't
Minister.
Think... I don't Prime think Mr. the British Pete will Johnson. Be allowed into Japan for a long time, a long, long time. So I'm thinking October, November.
Well, maybe we can sneak you in a cello case, like good old Carlos Ghosn. Get in a cello case. I'll bring you back. I'm like, this is just my exceptionally heavy cello. Don't look inside it. It's a weird one. We'll see what happens. But fingers crossed, eh? We've got a story here to kick off the new year. Tom from Stoke, and he says, I, Chris, and Pedro have been watching your videos for some time now, and I just recently started listening to the podcast. I thought I'd offer one of my favourite tales of Japan. About 9 years ago, when I first moved to Japan, one of my best friends, also called Chris, came to visit me. I took him out for a biggie at a club called Ageha, which used to be one of the biggest clubs in Asia, complete with an outside pool.
I went there,
it was
rubbish.
You've been there?
Yeah, it's rubbish.
Where
yeah,
is it?
Rubbish. Went for Halloween. It's out near, I want to say near the Rainbow Bridge. It's like in the middle of nowhere. It's right out in the sticks. I'm sure that people have had good times there, but I was just, it was deep in the holiday and I was just a bit knackered, to be honest. But I didn't have a great time, to be honest. It was all a bit super club Ibiza kind of nonsense, really. Not very intimate.
I mean, I didn't even know Japan had a big club. I've been to some pretty dire ones in Shibuya.
They put on buses from Shinjuku. Yeah, they put buses on from Shinjuku and Shibuya. But we didn't do any of that. We just got a big taxi that cost about £100.
Oh, God. It's pretty far out. Well, let's see what happens with Tom. Tom says, it was late November and a little chilly, but nevertheless, the party extended to the outside pool area. After tiring of the club somewhat, we fell into our usual pattern of depravity and thought it would be a good idea to go for a swim in the freezing, empty pool. Before doing so, thought we could benefit from the scheme financially by procuring 1,000 yen in sponsorship from a number of willing partygoers, which we eventually managed. Good God. After obtaining a sufficient number of backers, and with the pressure on, we proceeded to belly flop into the pool to a chorus of cheers, raised eyebrows, and lamentations. Once we'd waded across and jumped out the other end, feeling like heroes, we made the rounds and collected due payment. Despite being told that we were legends in the eyes of one man, we were unfortunately ushered out of the club by the bouncers, though thankfully, after they kindly allowed us to warm up in front of a heater and thereby avoid frostbite. But since the water hadn't rinsed off of our entrance stamps, we proceeded right back into the club via the other entrance, still dripping wet. My fondest memory is of returning to the bar and while waiting for our drinks paid for by our earlier patrons, taking off my shoe and holding it upside down, I allowed the now lukewarm water to drain out while the Japanese gentleman standing next to me observed in bewildered astonishment. That's the bulk of the story, but as an epilogue, I'd like to offer two final additions. Firstly, a Finnish bloke recorded us floundering into the pool and put it on YouTube. And secondly, on the early morning train back, still damp, Chris took out his wallet, passport and two phones and placed them on the seat next to him. We promptly fell asleep, woke up suddenly 30 minutes past our stop and realised it had all been left on the train. Being Japan, we managed to get it all back later in the day with all the money and cards still in fine working order. Several days later, after another heavy one, Chris missed his morning flight back to England. The end.
Yay.
Tom from Stoke. What is it with British people coming to Japan and just getting really drunk and doing terrible things? Being sick on a train, diving into a pool, procuring money from surprised Japanese people, cashing in. I mean, what a great idea for a crowdfunder. What do you reckon, Pete? Is that a missed opportunity part?
You came to Ageha? Myself wet. Well, I remember sort of going to a hotel in Los Angeles, the Hotel Figueroa. I think it's had a refit since then, but they two things happened there. I bought a White Russian that was that they made for like something like $30 a drink, and they used that kind of those little packets of milk you get in cafes. Disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing was a girl decided to jump in the pool, but she didn't really jump in the pool. She sort of got, I'm going to jump in the pool. And everyone was like, oh, cool, yeah. And she was really into the idea. I'm going to jump in the pool. And then she sort of like walked slowly in installments into the pool down the steps. And I was just like, this is lame. This is absolutely
kick her
lame
in.
As hell. But she was like going, I'm good. I'm going in. I'm going in. Oh, my feet are in. My feet. I was so just get in the pool. I don't get in the pool. No one cares.
The fury of Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
Gellar won't get in the pool.
I would very much like the YouTube video, though, of the guy floundering in the pool, please. I mean, he's clearly got it, so send it over.
Yeah, send it over, Tom. I want to see you belly flopping in the pool.
Yeah.
I could just type in Finnish bloke films, British guy in pool in Japan to see if it comes up. That sounds great, though. I don't know if I've ever done anything quite that bad at like a club in Japan while drunk. Or if I have, I've certainly wiped it from my mind. Actually, no, I've done a few things I'm not proud of and probably not best talked about in the first episode of the year. So I'll avoid that for now. But one day, you never know, like, I might talk about them. New Year's resolutions then, Pete. We do this every year. We've been doing the podcast since 2018 now. We're now in our third year. We tend to talk about our vision of 2021 resolutions. What have you actually got planned? What do you want to do? Even if you can't come to Japan.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is about getting fit. I think I've had a happy year, pretty much, in spite of everything that's been going on. And I've just been eating and eating and eating. I want to get thinner. I want to get stronger.
You're pretty thin already, Pete.
I know, but
thin.
Also, yeah, but I'm not though. Not for my, not, no, heading down a one-way street that I will not be able to get out of. And also, I passed my theory test a couple of weeks ago, so I very much like to have a crack at actually passing my driving test properly. But unfortunately, because we're in tier four at the moment, cannot get a driving lesson for love nor money. So maybe I'll just hope that the police aren't kicking around, and I'll just buy myself a little automatic car and tootle around with my learner plates on,
holding your samurai sword out the window.
Yes, exactly. Come at me, bro.
Have you bought a car yet, even though you can't technically drive?
No, is that the thing to do? Is that kind of like a target acquired, get yourself a car and then learn to drive? It would help though, wouldn't it, if you could just go out, if you had someone to go out with you, I suppose.
Well, yeah, if you've got someone who can sit in the driver's and the passenger seat in the UK, you're technically allowed on a provisional driver's license. It's pretty scary.
I mean,
though.
Yeah, and also I did 6 driving lessons with my ex-girlfriend and went in a car after doing 6 driving lessons with my ex-girlfriend, and she is my ex-girlfriend for that reason. So it's a very stressful thing getting in a car with a non-driver.
That
when they're
is.
Behind the wheel.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you on that front. Like, it'll be amazing.
Cheers,
if you
mate.
Can drive. We could put that to good use the next time you come over here as well. But
yeah.
I mean, for me, New Year's resolution, I would like to get fit. You know what? You talk about how unhealthy you are, but if I look as good as you do when I'm 40, I'll be delighted, because I'm currently 30 years old and I'm in far worse shape than you are. So I've got a long way to go. I've noticed my stomach getting bigger and bigger, and it's quite annoying. I want to get rid of that. But it's not a priority. Like, the main priority for me is, I had a lot of big plans for 2020. I wanted to do some big projects. And the closest thing I got to doing something big, I guess, was Journey Across Japan, Escape to Fiji, which wasn't really that big. You know, it wasn't like the original Journey Across Japan on a bike for like 2 months going across Japan. It was us in a car just driving around for 6 days. Pretty easy. But I want to do something so big and impressive and cool that for the rest of my life, I can look back at at being 31 years old and be like, when I was 31, I did that big, amazing thing. It was brilliant. Only problem is I can't work out what the thing is. So please help me and give me some ideas.
Right.
Tell me what to do.
Okay.
Give me an idea.
Learn how to play that Denture de Gaulle arcade machine, the little train, the train controlling arcade machine. Learn how to play that, because every time I've sat down to try and play it, I just can't get the train moving at all.
Something a bit more ambitious, Pete, and something a bit more grand. Playing an arcade game.
Yeah, we've spoken about this. Well, just learning to play it. So someone spoke about this before. There was at the top of Shibuya, like a massive tower in Shibuya. There's this on the roof. They've got this big caged off futsal pitch, and that's been a dream for a long time to play on that. I have a little pickup game of football up there. That'd be bloody lovely. That. That would be proper bucket list sort of stuff. Forget your Mount Fuji's. I want to play football on top of a building.
To be fair, it does look quite cool. When you look at all the photos of like Shibuya, that's like the one thing that always stands out, right? You know, the idea of having a bit of football in the heart of Tokyo on a skyscraper. Yeah. Not many places you can do that. That would be cool. Now, it needs to be bigger in scale, though. It needs to be really grand, really like fucking wow. I'm struggling. I don't know what I could do.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it needs to be like make a film or just make a film, isn't it? Make a film.
Free there base, some dangerous drugs, do some parachuting, bungee jump. I don't know, man.
I'm not doing a bungee jump. I'm trying to tempt Natsuki into doing it. Originally in 2020, we wanted to do this this project where we went around the world with Natsuki and he undertook challenges. We were going to tie it in with him quitting smoking, right? So like if he didn't stop smoking for a month, he had to do a forfeit. And the one we were going to definitely do, but couldn't because of coronavirus, was push him off a dam in Switzerland. You know the dam from GoldenEye where James Bond jumps off of?
Yeah, I've
been there. And you could bungee jump off it for like £300.
Oh,
I was going to take Natsuki up there and just push him off. And that was going to be great. Drone film it.
That was going to be great.
Watching not for Natsuki. Yeah, it probably wouldn't go down well. And I do worry he'd have a heart attack. But again, you're going to go. You might as well be off the dam from GoldenEye. But we'll save that
for
next year.
Life is balloons. Life is helium balloons. That might help you.
We can attach loads of helium balloons to Natsuki and kick him off a dam and see if he can fly. That's what we'll do. That's a memory that'll not easily be forgotten. Age 30.
Kill Natsuki.
But yeah, I don't know. I've got to think it through. But I want to do something really big and grand to make up for a little bit of a lackluster 2020. And, you know, I get very conscious about time. I have nightmares every night that I'm like the final days of my life and still haven't done everything I wanted to do. It's really quite depressing. But at the same time, I always think it's a really important philosophy. They call it, you know, memento mori, you know, remember death. Because if you think about it every day, you are a lot more careful with your time generally. You don't procrastinate. You don't sit in bed because you think, oh, I've got things to do. Time is short kind of thing. So that's a philosophy I'm going to continue to adopt for 2021, I think. I don't imagine it's one that you adopt though, Pete. I imagine it's very much.
No, I think about death and then spend another hour on Reddit. So that's very much my.
And I can't pretend I'm so high and mighty. I do waste a lot of time. Like, there's a reason I still haven't got rid of my asbestos-filled bath mat, to be honest. There you go. And I will be, yeah, I mean, that is a bloody thing that could lead to death a lot sooner. I don't know why I've still got it in the house.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes. I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week on Stakhanov.
Over on the Luke and Pete Show, we've been discussing our usual nonsense from Disney princesses to fizzy lagers and a whole load more. Here's a taster of what's been on the show.
For some reason, our little recording system has got this piece of music installed. It. I think it's incidental music in a sex ed BBC Two 10 a.m. kind of job.
No way!
It is.
It's too groovy. It's too groovy.
Yeah, it's just like now on BBC Two, sex and your child.
Meanwhile, over on WrestleMe, we've been doing the 12 days of WrestleMemus, which you can find on our Patreon or your favourite podcast player.
That's why also America is, like, leading the world in serial killers, you know, because they have room. They have room
they have
to dismantle, to dismember, to stuff,
yes.
To make marionettes.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, very difficult to be a serial killer.
I would knock into things, I'd
you
get
would.
Blood everywhere.
But there's always some nosy beak, isn't there? Someone sticking their nose in where it doesn't belong.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
We now turn our attention to the fax machine, though. What have we got this week in the fax machine? Mr. Donaldson.
We have got a message from, who have we got here? Jessica Helmer. Hello, Jessica. Greetings, Chris and Pete. I hail from Orlando, Florida, a lovely part of the world, and I've been listening to your podcast for about a year now. I actually discovered your podcast before your YouTube channel. So, as you can imagine, I've got quite a backlog of videos I still have to watch. That's what a great kind of direction to go in, Jessica. Yeah. That's fantastic. All those videos you got to watch. I'm watching some of your older videos. I came across one listed as Japanese Mountain Training, 24 Hours of Hell, in which you and Ryotaro climbed Yudono-san and participated in an icy waterfall prayer ritual wearing nothing but underwear and a loincloth. Even the idea of a cool shower pains me, so I cringed heavily watching the three of you scream your prayers as you were submerged in the mountain snow waters. Yikes. When you and Ryotaro emerged from the icy waters of despair, I noticed what looked like a blurred sensor over Ryotaro's tattoo on his left shoulder. At first, I thought I was mistaken, and maybe it was a water droplet on the lens. After watching it several times, though, I noticed that the blur definitely followed his tattoo. My question is this: am I correct in my analysis? Were you censoring Ryotaro's body art? What is it, and why is it censored? Lastly, will a man in a dark suit show up my doorstep now and tell me to forget everything I've seen? Please, I must know the truth. Regards, Jessica Helmer. What is Ryotaro's tattoo? Is it something very offensive? Is it the word Slipknot? Is it Korn? Is he a big fan of new metal in the 90s? Is it really embarrassing?
From what I remember, it is a dolphin. I think it's a dolphin I don't know if I'm making that. I think he's genuinely got a dolphin on his arm. I need to go back and look through the footage. But the reason we had to blur it is that project, I think we were subsidized to like go and showcase this part of Yamagata, this holy place, from some money with the local area. And as a result, Ryotaro had to hide his tattoo. And if you look at some videos with Ryotaro, in fact, he always asked me to blur his tattoo because it looks bad to have one, right? But he's a bad boy, isn't he? Oh, Ryotaro, he doesn't play by the rules. It's got a dolphin on his arm. So, yeah, that's why I blurred it, basically. I'll have to find some footage of him with it unblurred, though, uncensored, so I can share it with the world.
Bad boy for life.
Yeah, but that bloody icy water, that brings back some unpleasant memories. I don't know if you saw that episode, but...
I did, yes.
We went to the holy place, Udonasan, and got in... It was, even though it was August, we got in this water... And it was water that had melted from snow further up the mountain. So it was like just getting in -2 degree water. And it was so bloody cold. I nearly passed out the moment I got in it. And I had to edit it to like cut out my screams because it was really, really quite embarrassing. We got one here from Catherine. It says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. My name's Catherine and I've been binging the podcast in the car on the way to work. It's been the best way to keep myself entertained while driving through rural Japan. I've got a question mainly for Chris. About 2 years ago, on your cycle trip across Japan, you went through Fukui Prefecture. Have you ever been back to Fukui since you're cycling to get a load of even more dinosaurs or some of the more niche things the prefecture has to offer? Or did the harrowing bike ride from the Fukui to Lake Biwa turn you off on ever going back? Would love to hear your thoughts on arguably one of the least well-known prefectures in all of Japan. And Pete, you can chime in too if you've got any thoughts on Fukui." From Catherine, an ALT in the mountains of Fukui Prefecture. I don't think you've ever been to Fukui, have you, Pete?
No, I know nothing of it.
Because I was there the day before I met you at Lake Biwa. And Fukui is known for having the most nuclear power plants for any of any prefecture in Japan, as far as I know. And it's often the butt of all jokes, from what I understand, because it's kind of like this hidden prefecture somewhere around the back between Kyoto and Kanazawa. But I actually really liked it. I really enjoyed cycling through it. Beautiful area. Don't remember a whole lot. Remember there was scenery along the coastal area was nice. I remember the dinosaurs. It has the coolest train station in Japan, full stop. It's got like a giant animatronic Diplodocus and a Tyrannosaurus Rex out the front because of it having the biggest archaeological dinosaur dig site in the country. But there's a really good book called For Fukui's Sake, written by a guy who was an ALT in Fukui for 2 years. And I read that before I came on the JET program. And I need to reread it because it was an amazing book. And if you're somebody who's looking to teach in Japan or just want to hear about what it's like to live in rural Japan, I recommend it because it's an incredible book for Fukui's sake. And it's inspired me to want to kind of write my own book about my experiences in Japan, in rural countryside Japan. But I can't have a title quite as good as that. That's genius, that is. You should read it, Pete. You'd probably quite enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, though. I have been to Fukui because we met in a hotel in Fukui, we met late at night. I think we may have popped out and had a McDonald's, and then
of course
I may have had the fries with chocolate sauce, and then we went on our way. I think we filmed some of the Ampan Man kind of challenges as we cycled through. Remember when we saw the big windmills and stuff? So it was before that. So yeah, so when we cycled through there, I think we started around about in Fukui.
I'm glad you got to appreciate all the local cuisine of Fukui. McDonald's.
Yes,
typical.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. Dear. We've got one from Drew, Pete. I'll let you handle that.
Would you like me to read it? I shall read it.
Dear
Chris and Pete, when I first arrived in Japan over 10 years ago, I couldn't speak hardly any Japanese. And an opportunity came for a simple gig to dress up as Santa at a small Eikwa Christmas party in Kyoto's countryside. After being picked up from the station and getting changed at the world's most itching, unlaundered Santa suit, I arrived at the party, and to my surprise and disbelief, the organiser rented the local community gymnasium for the event with their entire 40-plus Eikawa students with their mothers. After 50 minutes of the obligatory ABC song, numbers, jingle bells, and the significant cherished photo opportunity, opportunity with a foreigner. To my relief, it was time to close the underrated magical event with the grand finale and beloved, but yet slightly overused, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Santa, myself, mothers and children joined hands in a massive circle and sang, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. I became overwhelmed and over-enthusiastic that this event of torture would finally end. I added my improv sound of a bell at the end of the chorus. Singing, oh good Lord, singing loudly and proudly with 40 mothers and their children at the top of my voice, I repeatedly sang, We Wish You a Merry Christmas and a Happy Ching Ching. After a song finished, I proclaimed that I must leave to return to Rudolph and Reindeer. While departing, I now realized why the children kept pointing to the lower region while laughing, and the Japanese mothers had a slightly cheeky smile and sparkle in their eyes. Thank you very much for the podcast, and Happy New Year in 2021, Drew. What's the ching ching about, Chris?
Do you not know what chin chin means?
No, I really don't, actually. Chin chin, is that
penis, dick?
Oh, no. Yep.
So we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Chin Chin.
Dick.
In front of 40 mothers and children. Bloody hell.
Enjoyable.
Good God. On a list of like the top three things not to do in Japan, that is pretty much at the top of the list. So well done, Drew. That and being sick on a train. We've got one final one from Lee from Essex. He says, hello, Chris and Pete. Earlier this year, you both mentioned about reducing your meat consumption. However, through numerous episodes of the podcast and videos, the conversations about meat seem to be more on the rise, especially with Chris and his KFC Christmas dinner and the exotic meats like bear. My question to you is, have you actually cut down on meat like you said you intended, or is it proving harder to cut down than you expected? And has the coronavirus played a part in your consumption? For example, I'm a vegan, but I've had to resort to eating products containing dairy and egg during lockdown as I was shielding in the UK, and I had to make do with local shops, which are never vegan-friendly. All the best. Stay safe. Lee from Essex. Definitely, Lee. It's all because of the coronavirus. That's the reason I still eat loads of meat. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Got the bear episode is like the first first video coming out this year, so if you want to see me eat a bear with Ryotaro, unfortunately it's not a live bear. Well, that's probably a good thing. It was quite delicious. I don't think I'd eat it again, and I do feel a little bit guilty, and I am a bit worried about backlash because people like bears, don't they? But I'll have to try and spin that in a way that makes me look not like an evil, terrible person. Isn't that right, Pete?
There's a lot of bears around, to be fair. You could eat bear every day and there'd still be way more bears than we really need.
I'll write that down. I'll put that in the script. I'll say that line exactly. Verbatim, word for word. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. In fact, let us know, what are your New Year's resolutions for 2021? We always get excited, always get fired up, and I hope you are as much as we are. But for now, guys, have a great start to the year. We'll be back on Wednesday to do it all over again. But for now, enjoy yourselves and cheers. No matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, let's make 2021 a good one. Have a nice one.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.